listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Give them, look for them for quote at progressive.com. Brian Barrett joins us, WEEI in Boston, on the suspension of Ime Udoka and how it's going to be affecting the Celtics, how it has affected the Celtics. How are you, Brian?
Tony, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. Before we, if you don't mind, before we get to the Celtics stuff, can you give us the latest on Mac Jones? I know they're so fun with this, but in the end, what do we think about Mac Jones?
Yeah, I can't see how he's going to have a chance to play on Sunday. I know that Mac is telling teammates that he feels good. He was part of the game planning process and all that. But we do know that he has a high ankle sprain, which is usually at least 4 weeks or so. So right now they're still going through the process trying to determine whether or not he's going to have surgery or not. So it does look that they're going to roll with Brian Hoyer coming up on this game on Sunday, which is unfortunate. It's also unfortunate if Mac misses any extended period of time because, quite frankly, Tony, there's been some issues in terms of the offense in general, the play calling, et cetera. But Mac has played really poorly through the first three games of the season. And like I said, I'm empathetic to having Matt Patricia as your play caller, but 5 interceptions already on the season, tied for the lead league, and the only guy that has a worse passer rating than him that's played 3 games is Justin Fields, so he needs this time to get better.
All right, so let's get to the Celtics. This was a story that the Celtics knew about in July, but we just found out about it. Was there any inclination something was brewing within the Celtics this summer about Ime Udoka?
Nothing got out until last week when that story emerged on Wednesday night from Adrian Wojnarowski. Obviously, as you mentioned, the investigation had been going on for a while, but they did a pretty good job of essentially keeping this under wraps. Nobody knew anything about it except the people involved. I mean, the press conference that they had this week, the media day, I should say, the players really don't know what's going on in terms of this whole situation. So the Celtics really, unfortunately, they found themselves in a bad situation on that Wednesday night because Adrian Wojnarowski has the report that just something's going on. And remember, Tony, that report was so vague. It was just like it's right. A violation of team rules. Nobody knew exactly what it was. Then Sham Sarania of the Athletic Stadium then puts it out there that essentially this is a consensual relationship. And then we wouldn't find out until really 24 hours after that that there was also a report that it was unwanted comments. What we do know is Wick reiterated, the owner of the Celtics, Wick Grossback, reiterated at that press conference on when they held the press conference on that Friday that it's multiple violations. So there's obviously a lot more to the story. And the problem for the Celtics is the leak, right? Because they were planning to release something prior to having media day. They were going to put this out there and somebody leaked it. Now, my hunch would be, if you connect the pieces on this, that it's somebody from Ime Udoka's camp, because think about it. It doesn't benefit the Celtics whatsoever for this information to get out there. So I know it's nobody in ownership. I know it's nobody with a lot of power within the Celtics organization, because think about the reaction on Thursday. It was basically pro-Ime, right? Because not everything was out there, where you had Stephen A. Smith saying that this is ridiculous. You had everybody, really in the national media, the perception was this seems like a punishment that's over the top. So the Celtics did not want that out there. You look at it, there's connections between CAA with Adrian Wojnarowski. Ime is also represented by CAA. So my hunch would be, and obviously I don't know this 100%, that it was Ime's camp that got in front of this, not the Celtics, because clearly they were waiting to release something, and they couldn't because they were in negotiations, not negotiations. They were talking with their legal team.
That's if I don't mind you asking that. I've been to many press conferences where there's been a suspension and a firing, and I've seen it pretty standard, kind of cookie cutter, as I know you have too. And then I've been to others where I'm like, lawyers are involved here. Lawyers are very, very involved in the way this is worded, the way this has been conducted. I got that feeling, but I'm not in the belly of the beast. Was that the feeling? Like, this is very lawyered up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, they have to protect themselves in this situation. So that's why part of it, and I know it's frustrating to not only, like, the public, but also the players, right? Because the players are sitting there and they have the same information, probably a little bit more than you and I, Tony, but
yeah,
they don't
sure.
have a lot of information either, right? The only people that really know are obviously Ime and obviously who else was involved, but the Celtics ownership, the front office, HR, and lawyers. That's it. That's the only people that know within the Celtics organization. So the reason this is so under wraps is because they're trying to protect themselves legally from everything that's going on here. So that's the unfortunate part where, and that's why, like, one of the things I said on when it broke was, I don't want to make a judgment either way, because we don't have enough information to have some sort of really, like, to, for lack of a better term, like, I was really perplexed that people were coming out here with all these hot takes judging what the punishment was when we don't have all the information. Like, we may find out a lot more, or we may not find out at all, because this is such a tough legal situation. But yeah, that was pretty much what people thought at the time.
Especially in a world where everybody loves to play the I know something you don't know game, I feel like there's been more people saying, oh, I can't say anything, but boy, oh boy, I know some things. But they're not releasing. It's like taking a box into a room and going, just don't look at the box. It's really important. But if you just ignore the box, but there's a box here that's really important. Now everybody wants to know what's in the box, right? But you may not have anything in the box.
Right. And I think that's part of, like, so, I mean, think about these players, right? Like, this team went all the way to the NBA Finals a year ago. They were two wins away. So they don't, like, it's a weird position for them to be in. Like, they were obviously explaining that something bad was going on. They don't have all the details of it. So Ime Udoka got through to a lot of these guys, right? Jason Tatum had this breakout season where he was first-team All-NBA. They switched Marcus Smart to the point guard, and that really catapulted the Celtics to make that run in the second half of the season. And that's why you could tell they had a really difficult time. I mean, Marcus Smart, I don't think he was good in the press conference where he essentially said nobody died, where it's like, okay, that's a little bit over the top. Like, make sure you know, like, what's going on before, you know, you give a sort of like a statement like that. So my whole thing is like, okay, some of these guys still love Ime, but they don't know exactly what Ime is accused of. So it's like very difficult for them to sort of process this all emotionally because they don't know the details of what's going on. And that's not the Celtics' fault, right? I mean, they can't tell the players what it is, right? Because for legal reasons. So that's why it's just, it's such a odd situation and a really peculiar place for the Celtics players to be in.
Brian Barrett joins us from The Ringer on the Celtics. By the way, congratulations on your Boston podcast. That's outstanding news. You're one of the best in the business. I'm glad you're doing that.
I appreciate it, Tony. Thanks, man.
Yeah. So let's get to the when we had you on during the playoffs, just I think was the Celtics were making the run. You did an outstanding job of really explaining Ime Udoka's presence on this team, what he did for this team, and how they turned their season around. That being said, can they keep that up? How much of his absence is going to be affected, whether it's Joe Mazzulla or not?
Yeah, so I don't think much is going to change schematically, right? Because they're going to take a lot of the things that Ime put in, because basically it's the same coaching staff. Now, they were trying to get Jay Larinaga back from the Clippers, who was previously with Brad's staff. But I do think it's sort of a weird dynamic, right? So Joe Mazzulla is 34 years old. Joe Mazzulla last year was actually in the second row, Tony. So he wasn't even on the main bench. He was on the second row. You had guys like Damon Stoudemire and Ben Sullivan who were on the first row. Now, Joe Mazzulla is a carryover from the Brad Stevens staff, the only one. The good thing for Mazzulla is this. Jason Tatum talked about him during the NBA Finals. Tatum actually went to Ime when Ime got the job and said, hey, you should keep this guy on the staff. So the good thing is the star player really likes him. But here becomes the question. I think he's going to be fine schematically and all that stuff. But what happens when players have to be checked, right? Because Ime didn't care. Ime would call out anybody. That's what he said the minute he got here, and he did it all season long, all the way into the playoffs. When Tatum had a poor game in the middle of the season, he said, hey, what are you doing when your shot's not falling? Basically saying, you've got to be a better playmaker. So he wasn't scared to do anything like this. And I know it may sound like hyperbolic, Tony, but Ime's sort of an intimidating figure, right? I mean, the guy is absolutely huge, right? So I think that sort of, I mean, for some, maybe that sounds crazy, but I think that factored in. But yeah, I do think there's, and he's going to get a real opportunity to get this job. And I know the Celtics are very high on Joe Mazzulla, but we can't really make a judgment on Mazzulla in terms of those tough internal situations until we see it. Like, for example, here's one. Malcolm Brogdon, they brought in via trade. They have Derek White here, who was pretty good for them last year, although at times he didn't want to look at the hoop, which was a problem. And then, of course, they have Marcus Smart. So those are three guys that think they should be closing games. Well, what happens when, remember, in the finals, Ime sat Marcus Smart down, and it wasn't a problem. So what happens when Joe Mazzulla has to do that, and it's not Ime Udoka? I think that's going to be sort of the interesting challenge for Joe Mazzulla going forward.
All right, I'm going to ask you to speculate here, and I hate to put you here, but all the little things that you're hearing, we've seen people get suspended so that they can organize a way to properly fire. Is that what you're hearing about with this situation, or is there an opportunity he does come back after a year?
I don't see it. I can't see him coming back after being suspended for a year, and the fact that how upset the Celtics ownership was, how upset Brad Stevens was at the press conference. And I don't know this for a fact, but I think this is just, okay, we have the suspension now. And like this whole thing has been so secretive, if you will, because of the lawyers, et cetera, because of the legal aspect, I think they're waiting for an opportunity to, when they're in the clear, to do something along those lines. That would be my hunch. And here's another weird thing, Tony. Like, what if Joe Mazzulla ends up being a really good coach, right?
Right,
so it's like,
right.
Well, we were thinking about the Ime situation, but it's definitely not worth bringing him back now or even kicking the tires on that particular situation. I would say this too. Like, the Celtics, if they decide Joe Mazzulla is not their guy, there's going to be plenty of candidates for that job when you have Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So I wouldn't be worried about that in terms of, like, finding the next head coach. I feel like they feel like they have enough information where it's really not worth bringing Ime Udoka back.
I told you it was the last question. It's not. My apologies. I got to ask you one more. Are the fans trusting the Celtics here? Are they trusting that the Celtics did an investigation? They don't know all the details, but they figure they know the details and they've made the right decision. I mean, this is, you said, two wins away from a championship. You don't get rid of coaches like that unless there's a good reason. Are they trusting that the reason was the right reason?
I think initially the reaction from Celtics fans was much like everybody else, where it was like, wait, this seems like a little bit ridiculous, a consensual relationship, but we'd find out there was, you know, more details and more reporting to the story. So I think initially Celtics fans were pretty upset about the punishment, but after we heard the press conference from Wick and after you saw some of the reporting over the next 48 hours after the initial report, I think they understood that there's more to the story. And one of the things that sort of like shook everything was Matt Barnes basically came out and he was like defending Ime. He made a post about it, like really defending Ime. And then the next day he comes out and he says he talked to somebody, then this is way worse. He'll never coach in the NBA again. So I think that people are now realizing that we just got the tip of the iceberg and this thing could be really ugly when or if we ever find out really all the news that is part of this.
Brian, great stuff. Really appreciate you coming on as always, my man. Thank you so much again.
Have a good one, Tony.
You got it. Brian Barrett at The Ringer. Again, catch his Boston podcast there as well. Great stuff and great insight into what's going on with the Celtics. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.